I will call this meeting to order at, looks like 6 p.m. This is our regularly scheduled meeting for Tuesday, April 8th. Before I do roll call, I want to thank Dan Mayfield for chairing our last assembly meeting in my absence when I was... did I say April 18th? 8th, excuse me.
Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
George McKee.
Here.
Steve Culligan, are you on the line?
On the line.
Thank you. Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty, are you on the line? Randall Kowalki.
Present.
And you do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Is Mr. Sykes? I thought Mr. Sykes was here. Okay, he's late. This is going to be a fine.
There he is.
Approval of the agenda. Anything members like to pull from the consent agenda? Assemblymember Mayfield.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to pull Resolution 17-31.
1731. Did you get that, Madam Clerk? Okay. Anything else? Assemblymember Sykes.
I'd like to pull Action Memorandum 17034.
034. Okay. Thank you. Anything else in the consent agenda or any other changes to the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is approved as amended with the consent agenda. The agenda is approved as amended. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Fulp, why don't you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Thank you. There are no minutes for approval, so we'll go to our agency reports. We got the City of Wasilla. Mayor Cottle is here. Do you have a report?
Mayor Halter, Assembly members, and first one is this weekend at the Menard Center is a Matsu Women's Affair. That's from 10 a.m. We still have some garden boxes left over at the city. They're 4 foot wide, 10 foot long. If you want a free garden box to grow vegetables or flowers in for the summer. Also, next Tuesday is the last Tuesday night fights for the year, and that's at 6:45. Fights are inside by 7:45. And then the Last Frontier Honor Flight left Anchorage today with veterans on it. And there was 9 World War II, 13 Korean War, and 1 Vietnam veteran on that. They will be returning on the 22nd at noon. If you'd like to be at the airport at noon on the 22nd and welcome them back, that would be appreciated. And if you need more information, you can call me. Also, I just want to, I know you guys are going to hear later from the borough side, an update on the 911 on where we're at. I just want to report that the borough, Palmer, and us have worked real well together. We're on track. By the time we get done, there will be approximately a $7 million upgrade there. Part of that money is from the state. Part of that money is from the city. For us to get the part of that grant, we had to match part of that grant from the state and then what the borough's putting in. And just to let you know, we've worked with the borough to forward fund. The city is forward funding the part of the borough's part of that upgrade and the equipment until we can get paid back. So, but I've got Joel here with me. He's our IT expert. And I just, at this time, if you can bear with me and let him talk a little bit about 911, but things are going very, very well with us. And like I said, Palmer, the borough, and us have worked very, very well together. So, Joel, you want to just...
So I'm the project manager for the project over on the MATCOM side. We're real happy with where we're at and where we're headed down the line towards cutover on July 1. We've got a lot of pieces of the puzzle to put into place. We've met some hurdles, challenges for April 1 where we had an initial operating capacity and that went really well. Hiring-wise, we've got 18 dispatchers, 3 call takers. We have 2 to 3 more lateral transfers coming from the City of Palmer. We're going to hire 4 to 5 additional personnel on top of that and begin their training program. Everybody's excited and engaged over at MATCOM, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
No, thank you. City of Palmer, Mr. Wallace, you want to give us your report?
Good evening, Mayor and Assembly members. You want my version of the dispatch? No, it's going well.
We are. It's a good team effort. So a couple of quick updates on the Palmer activities. Spring is here, as you've all can see by looking out the windows here. And we've taken our snow plows off the trucks. However, we still got the sanders and the graders available if something does come up in the next couple of weeks. Our street sweeper's gotten out, so picking up the sand that's on the side of the roads, a lot of trash. So Palmer's looking a lot better over the course of the last 7 days, just as spring breakup is here. Got picnic tables, benches, trash cans are out. So if folks want to enjoy the trails and the parks, you can do that now without having to worry about packing your stuff out. The MTA Event Center held its last event on the ice this last weekend. So the ice is now out, and we're going through some maintenance procedures, but it'll be available for anybody that wants to rent that for their non-ice events or happenings. The first one we expect to have in there is the car show the first weekend of May. Our golf course opened last week, Thursday, for 7 holes. If you didn't see that on the news, head on out. 12 holes are open now, and we expect to have 18 holes open by this weekend. Still no carts, so you have to drag your bag around yourself, but we expect to have carts out in another week. They're still pretty wet out there. Our tennis nets are up, so for tennis players, the courts are available. There's no snow on those courts, but you need to watch out in the morning. There's still a little frost out there. But they are available for folks that want to get out in this great weather and enjoy the sunshine. Some upcoming events in the city in the coming weeks. Who Let the Girls Out is going to have its 7th annual event this year, 7 years running. That's April 28th and 29th in downtown Palmer primarily. The 49th State Street Rodders, I mentioned them earlier. They're a car show, indoor car show, largest one in Alaska. It will be held May 4th through the 7th. Yeah, our city cleanup, the official cleanup, is May 12th and 13th. And we appreciate the support the borough's given us with the landfill and the cooperation we have there. And then Friday Flings kicks off May 19th for the season, so that's coming up. So one last piece, as you finish up your budget sessions, of course, I'm up here with my handout. As always, asking for consideration for the community council grants, or community grants. We'd appreciate it if they're there, but we understand funds are tight. But it can't hurt to ask. Looks like you have a full agenda tonight, so that's all I have, unless you have questions to me.
Questions? No, thank you very much. Good luck on those grants. Just kidding. Now I want to welcome our new superintendent of schools, Monica Goyette. It'll be your turn. We're very proud to have you here tonight, so welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here again. I want to start off with some fun stuff first. About a week and a half ago, I had the pleasure of going around with BP and honoring 5 teachers of excellence. Every year, staff members are nominated by other people for this award. We had 100, over 100 this year. And Assemblymember McKee's wife, Dee McKee, was honored at Palmer Junior Middle School as a BP Teacher of Excellence, and she was honored by former students. We have had all our Science O competitions, and we're very proud of those. At the secondary level, our middle schools and high schools won again this year. But we had a little bit of an upset in middle school. Thielen had won for the past 15 years, and this year Colony Middle School won, so we were excited. We like a healthy competition between our schools, and Career and Tech won at the high school level, and this last weekend we had elementaries. With the snow melting, we have graduations around the corner. May 8th is we'll start our graduations, and so our seniors, this is a very exciting time. They're getting a lot of acceptance letters and a lot of scholarships, and I know from kids that I've known, it's really the local scholarships that make the biggest deal for them, and many of our local business people provide those, so we love that. So you're getting a look at your budget book tonight, and I won't spend too much on it. I think everybody knows that we're in a state fiscal crisis. Our district is looking at cutting 90 jobs. Tomorrow, our school board has a very difficult decision ahead of them with outsourcing custodians. And there's been a lot of discussion of that in the community, and we want everyone to know that it's not whether or not we're gonna be cutting jobs, it's which jobs. We choose to cut. And so as the superintendent, as an educator, it is my hope that we can preserve as many classroom teachers as possible. Right now we have about 40 to 50 instructional staff that are slated on the docket to be cut. So, but with that, I also inherited a resolution from our school board for a sales tax. And so we are working on what that might look like. And certainly we'll be talking to you in the upcoming month about that. And as always, we look forward to a continued great relationship between the borough and the school district. That's all I have for you this evening.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you.
Thanks.
We have a joint assembly school board committee. Mr. Beck, anything?
I don't think we've met since our previous meeting, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public relations reports from anybody? I guess we're good there. We'll go to Mr. Moosey, please.
Yes. Good evening. It's a pleasure to have Mr. John Lee here from the Matsu Regional Medical Center. He is a director, and he has a presentation on great things happen at Matsu Regional, a for-profit health company.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Assembly members, for inviting me here. It's my pleasure to be here, and I see the presentations up on the board. But before I get started, it's to point out, you know, how we are a community hospital. George McGee was for many years our HR director at the hospital, and Dr. Barb Doty's not here, but she's a practicing physician at the hospital. Mr. Moosey's on our board of trustees, and Monica, for many years, Monica honed her skills on our board of trustees as well. But we are very much a community hospital, and proud to serve and proud to have members such as those in attendance participate in the hospital. But let's go ahead and get started with the presentation, and feel free to ask me questions. All right, the history of the hospital traces its roots back to 1935, and during the colonization, the rumor is that the spouses all wrote Eleanor Roosevelt letters asking for a hospital to be built, and she worked some magic with her husband, and the very first hospital was built back in 1935. And there's a picture of it with Pioneer Peak in the background. Now, Valley Hospital Association, who's still co-owner of the hospital, this is their first hospital back in 1952. Now, the organization is very uniquely organized. We are a blend between a for-profit and a not-for-profit. The operating agreement requires that it be operating consistently with a not-for-profit hospital with our relationship with the Matsu Health Foundation, and then Community Health Systems is the other partner, and is actually three organizations: the hospital, hospice and home health, and clinics throughout the community. We are the largest private employer in the borough, over 714 employees, and on top of that, there's 243 providers who are on our medical staff. Dr. Barb Doty is one of them, and they practice in the community, and they practice at the hospital, and they in turn hire people as well. They operate offices in the community, and so again, it's more example of the strength of the organization. It's more than just the hospital; it extends out into the community. We're very much involved in community throughout the year. Last year, we participated in over 30 health fairs in the community. There's a list of some of them where we reached over 6,000 people. And we sponsor a lot of community activities, everything from the Rotary 5K run to My House and others. And that's just a small list of some of the many projects that we're involved in throughout the year. Some nice pictures of some of our activities. One of the things that I'm real proud of is Project Search. We started this back in 2011. It's in partnership with the Matsu Borough School District and a host of other agencies throughout the state. And we provide a one-year structure and internship for kids with disabilities. And since 2011, we boast a 100% successful graduation rate, where after the one-year internship, the kids all have gotten off and gotten jobs in the community. So we're real proud about that. Some of the other activities that we're involved in throughout the year is a host of professional education through students either at UAA or the WAMI program or throughout the United States. Actually, people come here. Over the last year and a half, we trained almost 150 various students here in our organization, providing them the place for where to hone their clinical skills in the hospital setting. It's, as far as an organization, the strength of who we have, the talent that we have, one of the things that I really think is important that we participate in mentoring folks throughout the community. We talked about Project Search, that's one of them. We also partner with the Matsu Borough School District. where we teach a, it's an immersion program for our surge techs, and we've trained over 150 students since we started that. And there's a host of other things we do in the community where we provide mentorship and guidance to our young folks in the community, encouraging them. The idea is really to encourage them to go off in the health professions and to choose that career field because, I mean, the future is still bright in that particular career field, particularly in the Valley with our growth. This is kind of our my report card as far as the community benefit in 2016. We provided over $25 million in charity and uncompensated care in the community. Again, that's part of our partnership with a not-for-profit partner. We're obligated to do that as consistent with a not-for-profit hospital, but we're also a taxpayer. We're the largest taxpayer in the borough, I understand, $1.3 million last year. And in the last, since I've been here, we've paid over $10 million in taxes over the last 7 years. So again, I think it's by far the largest taxpayer, single taxpayer in the borough. Our payroll, very large payroll last year was almost $69 million in payroll. And a host of other things. We purchased goods and services in the community locally. And with our partnership with our not-for-profit partner, the Mattsu Health Foundation, 35 cents out of every dollar that we make is given back to the community in form of a distribution to the Mattsu Health Foundation. I got a couple slides on the Mattsu Health Foundation. Again, they are the original Valley Hospital, and they're doing business as the Mattsu Health Foundation. But their job is to help improve the quality of life and the quality of health care in the community, and they do a great job at that. Here in 2015, they spent over $5.3 million invested in 50 various not-for-profits in the community. They funded things like the Nugent Ranch, HeartReach, the new facility there. They have $7 million in grants that they're planning on for 2017, and $33 million since the inception. Plus, with our expansion, they're going to fund 35% of the hospital expansion, so it'll be millions of dollars that they're going to reinvest back into the community with our hospital expansion. As far as quality of care, one of the things that we work real hard on, Mr. Moosey on the Board of Trustees, and is the quality of care. And the Joint Commission is the national body that accredits hospitals. And in the last 3 years, we've won the top award in the nation for the quality of care. We're the only hospital in Alaska that's earned it three times. No other hospital in Alaska has earned it more than two times in a row. We've earned it for the last 3 years. So we're real pleased with that. We're only one of 435 hospitals in the nation that's earned it three times in a row. Other quality achievements, we're the first hospital in Alaska to be NICHE certified, which is a special certification for excellence in providing care to elders. We're the first hospital in Alaska to be chest pain accredited, first hospital in Alaska to be primary stroke certified. So again, nation, I mean, as far as bringing the very best in the nation as far as quality care to the Valley, we're leading the state in a lot of areas of quality improvement. And this is just a listing of some of the things that we've achieved over the last few years. Another thing, Becker Review is a national publication. They're the leading publication in the health industry. And for the last, actually, two out of the last 3 years, we've earned one of the best places in the nation to work in healthcare. We're the top 150 places in the nation to work. We're real proud of that achievement. One of the other things that, and healthcare is expensive, and so one of the things that we've done is we've reached out with the various payers in the state. And if you're listed, if the insurance that you currently have is listed here, we've negotiated with the payers the best rates in the state. So. No matter if you have one of these insurances, if you come to our hospital, we offer the lowest charges for those insurance carriers in the state of Alaska. Volume, our volume is growing a lot faster than the borough is still growing, but our volume is growing at about 10% a year in these major areas. So about four or five times the rate of the borough growth. And we've actually, over the last several years, we've outgrown the size of our hospital, and we need to expand the hospital. One of the reasons why we've grown is our physician expansion or our provider expansion in the community. Back in 2006, when the hospital opened, we had 122 providers. Today, we have 243 providers that are affiliated. and about 60 providers over the last 2 years have been recruited in. And the community is still short physicians, and we're still recruiting. I think the community total is about 50 or 60 physicians still short in the community, so we're still recruiting heavily. But I mean, it's been phenomenal growth in our providers that we've been able to bring into the community. Some of the things that we're doing right now, the MRI and the cath lab expansion, those projects are underway right now. Between the MRI and the cath lab expansion, that's a $6.5 million project. Very, very expensive to do that. Our CT upgrade, we've just completed that. Over the last several years, we've recruited in a whole lot of new physicians. Primarily, one of the things that we've really done a great job at is in orthopedics. We've recruited in 7 new orthopedic surgeons in the last couple years. And these are folks that are fellowship trained to some of the best places in the world. And we have the only stealth navigation and O-arm in the state of Alaska for spine surgeries. So people are coming from all over the state here for spine surgeries. We're the only hospital in Alaska to have that has what's called the robotics for orthopedic surgeries as well. So again, we're getting volume from across the state because of that. One of the other things that we're doing is we're in the process of opening up several new urgent cares. One of them just across the street from here. And so that should be opening up here in next month. A couple pictures. There's the new one on Settlers Bay that'll open up in May, and then the one in Palmer is going to open up a few months later than that. And both very large and bring great health care locally in the community. A hospital expansion. As you know, the borough is still growing. This is the borough population, actually state population estimates for the borough growth. Right now, we're just over 100,000. And by 2025, there's estimates of about 127,000 if the growth continues. And we're certainly seeing the growth is continuing, and I think you all are seeing that as well. As an organization, again, with the growth, the community's outgrown the hospital. And this is a slide of a particular day in January, and the point is every bed in the hospital had a patient in it, and we had patients that were waiting for beds who were in the ED, and we've had up to 13 patients that were waiting for beds in the ED, but every bed was full. So the community's outgrown the hospital. Actually, if you look at today's population, we should have 106 beds, and we only have 74, so we're already too small just for our population. And you factor in the growth, it's even much more significant. This is what we're in the process of doing. Our third floor, we're going to start construction on our third floor this summer. And we're going to add 52 beds. And that's going to take about a year to complete. And to put those 52 beds up on the third floor, I think a lot of you have seen it. It's a concrete shell. But that's about a $16 million project to open up those 52 beds. Very expensive project, but we'll start that this summer. Other parts of the expansion, we're also looking to do a brand new build out behind the hospital, put a new wing in, which would be our behavioral health wing. And the numbers are fluctuating right now. The numbers right now are between 36 and 70 beds for our behavioral health. Right here it says 25 beds, but I think it's going to be a little bit bigger than that as we're partnering with other hospitals in the state. And everyone's encouraging us to build a pretty good size unit there. And then to expand the rest of the hospital. Our emergency room, we need 13 more beds. In the emergency room, we need to put a psych ED in there. Our OB needs to grow. We need to add another 4 LDRPs to go from 6 to 10 LDRPs. Our operating rooms need to grow. So everything needs to grow. So over the next about 3.5 years, it'll be about an $83 million expansion project, which will add a whole lot of capability, allow us to recruit in more providers, and really grow as an organization, provide more jobs, and bring in more money into the borough. Here's where we're at. We've already got the approval to do the design. We're well underway for the design of the hospital expansion. We've hired the architects, the same architects who built the hospital. We've rehired them, and they're helping us with the expansion. We're putting together cost estimates right now. Some of our expansion, we're going to need to apply for the state for a certificate of need. I think everyone's aware with Maple Springs and Spring Creek, what the CON process is. It's a little bit complex, but we feel real confident that we're going to be able to get through the CON process without any issues. And so, again, the construction will start for the third floor this summer. and the things that will require CON probably at the next summer, that construction will start. One of the things that we're in the process of building right now, and we're going to break ground here shortly, is, you know, with all the physicians that we've recruited in, the space next to the hospital is 100% occupied, so that's the artist's rendition of the new 60,000 square foot medical office building that'll be built adjacent to the hospital. If you look below that, you can see like an aerial view of the hospital where the new MOB is going to go on the bottom right. But as the hospital expands, the back parking lot is where the new the new behavioral health wing is going to go, and that could be two or three story wings. Be a very, very major expansion project that will allow us to really provide great service through the next 10 or 15 years and then and beyond. That's my presentation. Love to answer any questions that you might have.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. That's a really commendable job you've been doing, and it's great to see that you've won all these quality awards and made these levels. That's really incredible. We have that.
Our community deserves the best. Absolutely.
I agree. It seems, I don't know, as you are recruiting the new people, is it mainly specialists that you're getting to be adjunct to the hospital? Because one of the things that I'm thinking about as I now qualify for Medicare is what's the hospital doing to recruit people who will do family medicine and take Medicare?
That's a great question. Honestly, a lot of our success has been in some of the specialists, and one of the things we haven't been successful is bringing in what's called internal medicine physicians. That's traditionally who provide services to those 65 or older. But that particular career field, there's not an abundance of people coming off wanting to practice outpatient medicine. The new internal medicine graduates are going into a new line of work called a hospitalist, where they're hospital-based. And so one of the strategies that we've done over the last, if go back a few slides, if you look at the providers that we've added, a lot of them are in what's called allied health, or they're advanced practitioners, nurse practitioners. Over the last about 2 years, we've recruited in about 15 to go in, and they augment providers like Dr. Natalie Bailey. We brought in a nurse practitioner. We're helping Dr. Boston recruit a nurse practitioner and a PA into his office to help extend what they do. And so if the industry's not producing the internal medicine physicians, we're looking at different ways. And so that's kind of the strategy of what we're trying to bring in, and we're seeing some success in doing that. And with our new urgent cares, we're going to be able to provide those type of services. And the urgent care here in Palmer has clinic space, and the idea is to actually put like a Medicare clinic in there to be able to provide for that service. But that's what we want to do. And unfortunately, the industry is just not producing a lot of internal medicine physicians, so we're looking at different ways to provide service using advanced practitioners such as nurse practitioners and PAs in partnership with the physician communities to extend those type of services to the over 65. It's a tough issue. It really is. It's probably the biggest issue that the community's facing is care for the elderly right now, I think.
Okay, that
and behavioral health, I think, are the two toughest things in the community right now.
Thank you.
Good. Anyone question? Else? If not, thank you very much, Mr. Lee. We
absolutely
really appreciate all your expertise over the past few years. And
thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Boosie?
Next, I would like to announce and I guess welcome back Otto Feather. He is now our permanent director of Department of Emergency Services. And so we're happy that he said yes. It was a two-month trial with me, and I guess I passed. So we're happy to have Otto here as part of our team. He's a great addition, and he's going to be very helpful moving forward. In your packet, there is the Matanuska-Susitna Borough employee information, our history of the last 10 years, statistics, and just kind of give you an idea where we are with our full part-time voluntary on-call staff, kind of lays that all out. It's also available to the public in the back. And as part of the package that we're putting together as you examine the budget. Now, speak of the budget, you received the 2018 Borough Manager budget to you. Are in just a couple brief things. This comes in at 10.14 mill rate, which is higher. It's probably been back in 6 years, but it's slightly higher. I want to let you know that this does not include the debt. We've had a couple of certificates of participation that we've done, and then the citizens voted on the recreation. In the past, because of our growth and because of the partnership and revenue we've gotten from the state, that was easily to fold in. We're not able to do that now, so we'll be coming back with that number to you. So not this coming Monday, this coming Tuesday, and this coming Thursday, we have budget hearings. What I would like to ask, if it would be okay for the assembly, is for each of those to give like a 5-minute overview on what the 2018 proposed budget to you does and what it doesn't do, and then go into public comment. We usually just go into public comment, but I think it'd be good to kind of set the stage, since we're really kind of looking at how we're moving forward in our environment with the state. So if I don't hear a no, I'm going to probably spend 5 or 10 minutes with just a few slides to kind of give you where we are to kind of set the stage for the public hearing.
So that'll be at the first public hearing? Or?
It'll be the first public hearing, I believe, is in Wasilla, is that correct? On Monday. I think Tuesday is here, and Thursday it is Willow. And Willow always brings out the whole community. There's like 600 or 700 people there, and they serve us sandwiches and that sort of thing, and it's a good time. At least it's been in the past, so. And I think we have 3 people show up here on Tuesday, so.
I don't think there's any objection or any problem with you doing your opening. So.
Okay. So the last thing I have is the E-911 project. And just our perspective, we heard from Wasilla. We heard from Palmer. They're all happy. Are we happy, Eric?
We are very happy. just a little bit of good news about that. We are definitely on track for switch over on July 1st. We have had to budget over $500,000 as contingency to take us through the end of the calendar year. It looks like we're not going to have to use that, so that's very, very good news for us. One other bit of information, good news I'd like to pass along. If you remember the e-commerce, the online system went online 2 weeks ago. We have now sold 24 business licenses online, so that's $2,400, so the revenue is pouring in. And with that, you maybe noticed in the lobby, the kiosk is now in the lobby, so that borough citizens can come into the lobby, then go straight to the kiosk, and they can use the online system to purchase business licenses, and we are underway in adding additional products to our e-commerce system. And that's all I've got.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Beck?
Thank you. Yeah, would there be a possibility of having similar kiosks at like other locations in the future, say somewhere in Wasilla or?
Yes, sir. This was a first and a trial, and if this works out well, we can definitely add some more. We've already got more requests for them. Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Okay.
We appreciate that.
Just so you know, I'm negotiating with the clerk to get a security bear to watch the kiosk. And I do have one thing. Mr. Beck, I have a magic word for you, pioneer.
Thank you. Through the mayor, I'd like to ask permission from my fellow assembly members to direct the manager to write a letter in support of the local pioneer home. As we know, it's been in the media lately, and I know it may perhaps be a moot point by now with regards to what we've heard from Juneau and from our legislators and governor, but I still would like to take that action in support of our this local pioneer home and the people who live there, and if, with your permission, I'd like to co-sign that with the manager.
Well, I think Senator Sykes, I believe Senator Sykes shares your views.
Well, yeah, I do share your views. We could include the mayor as well if we like. I went to the rally in support this Saturday and spoke briefly to the crowd. Over 200 people showed up. A bunch of the veterans from the Pioneer Home came out. And I thought it was really a moment when everybody in the community kind of came together on this issue, and I hope that's what we express our support as a community. And one of the things I was shocked to learn in the course of the rally was that even the Pioneer Homes at their current status, there are empty beds because they don't have enough staff to take care, to fully do it. And so I would just like to add to do everything they can to not only keep the homes going the way that they are, but to make sure that they are expanded to their full capability if possible.
Okay, so Mr. Rusi, I guess we'll be drafting a letter to the Pioneer Home.
I'm going to get right on that. Okay.
Yeah. And Mr. Beck, Senator Beck, you wanted to sign that letter along with?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor, if there's no objection.
Is it okay if I sign it too?
As long as the rest of the assembly doesn't object.
Okay, well, just
can
leave
we
it
all
at that.
Sign it?
So anyway, yeah, I guess that issue is pretty well with full length, and I think it was unfortunate that the governor got blamed, myself personally, so I hope we have a letter to address that. So, you anything else, Mr. Busey?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Spropoulos?
So, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, was it week before last, Mayor, Assembly Member Beck and Kowalki, the manager, and I were in Washington, D.C., and we met with Dismas Locaria, our attorney at Venable there, who's been negotiating the ferry payment with FTA and the status of that. I've been working on that with him. We've been bouncing emails back and forth for the past few days on the draft submission. I actually got one here less than 10 minutes ago from him, kind of multitasking up here at the table. We hope to submit that by Friday and advance our arguments on reduction for FTA payments based upon, you know, use, ability to pay. We, you know, did our best to make it work. For things closer to home, I just wanted the Assembly to be aware that HB 201 down in Juneau is a new trapping legislation that would purport to give all municipalities in the state the power to regulate trapping, with the additional power listed under, you know, planning, land use, water pollution control, animal care. They would add a power on trapping. It's Representative Josephson who introduced it. It was in the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, of which Representative Rauscher sits on. I was watching on the screen. Anyway, I received a phone call, was asked to participate. I was very clear that the Borough Assembly hadn't considered the issue or taken a position, but they had questions about municipal powers and duties and how things work. They had questions about what our ordinance looked like, our local trapping ordinance. I was clear to make sure they knew that that only applied on borough land, because that was our power, and that the borough did not have a position on this pending legislation because it hasn't been taken up by the Assembly. And then more recently, Senate Bill 100 is pending. Got an email today. Oh, and by the way, just so everybody knows, I did coordinate with the manager and our lobbyist, Mr. Harris. I always make sure that you know, all these things are coordinated so everybody knows what's going on. The manager and I got an email today on Senate Bill 100 from Senator Egan's office. And what Senate Bill 100 would do is it would actually put into a different part of state law the ability for the municipalities to create liens. That would include us. So when people don't pay their taxes, mostly sales taxes or other types of taxes that are unsecured, with property taxes, it's easy, we foreclose. But with other things, other municipalities will go and file liens. Well, there's a little bit of a gap in state law, apparently, that the power to file liens needs to be authorized by federal or state statute, is what the current law says. And this proposed amendment would include the word municipal. Again, I spoke with the manager today about it a little bit, and my response to Senator Egan's office was the borough had no objection to the legislation. Again, the Assembly hasn't taken it up, so we didn't want to go so far as to say, oh, we're in, you know, giant support of it or anything like that, but it does clear up what looks to be a little bit of a hole in law. So those are a couple of bills that are pending down there. In addition to all of the money stuff is, you know, squarely in the manager's office because he's the money guy, but with some of these changes to state law, I've been getting phone calls. So that's it.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report is in your red folder, and Ms. Goyette did say earlier, reference the graduations. The school district would like me to get back to them. So if you could let me know by April 20th, which is Thursday, which graduations you want to attend so I can let the school district know. I did send you the list with the when they're going to occur. Also on the clerk's report, I've included all the pertinent election dates coming up. It includes the meeting dates for when propositions need to be adopted, when they need to be introduced for the regular election. And then the annual evaluations of the manager, attorney, and clerk are coming up. Would the assembly like to schedule the annual evaluation for the manager on May 16th at 4 p.m.?
Is that an assembly prior to assembly
meeting? That is prior to the regular assembly meeting on May 16th, Mr. Mayor.
Assembly members, any objection? Sounds like it's going to work, Madam Clerk.
June 6th for the attorney at 4 p.m. before a regular meeting.
That one will take a day and a half.
And then I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I have no objection, but just I would not be available on the 6th of June, but I have no objection.
Okay. And then the clerk's on August 1st.
I think it looks good.
Okay.
Any objection to those dates? Let's set them, please.
And that is all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Everybody take a look at the correspondence. Are there any comments from the citizens or other correspondents? Seen and hearing none, it is presented. There are no informational memorandums being presented. There are no persons to be heard. We are now at public hearings, and let's take a brief 5-minute recess, and then we'll go into our public hearings. Well, several items on for public hearing tonight. Please sign up in the back of the room. You will have 3 minutes to testify. Madam Clerk, would you please read Ordinance 17031 into the record to start us off?
An ordinance of the Manuscasset Borough Assembly approving the less than fair market value sale of the old Iditarod Elementary School parcel in the amount of $1,500,000 to the City of Wasilla, said parcel identified as Tract B, Iditarod Wasilla Schools, 2016, plat number 2016-112, and is accepting and appropriating the sale proceeds, MSB 007256.
Thank you. I'll open the public hearings at this time. We do have a sign-up list. Is it Patricia Gerich? Come on forward, ma'am. You have the mic, and please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. You each have...
To state your name just for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Patricia Gersich.
Thank you very much.
And I am a homeowner in the Iditarod subdivision. You have this information in your notes, I believe, and I'd like to read what I have to say. Iditaway Park homeowners strongly object to the Matanuska-Susitna Borough proposal to sell the old Iditarod Elementary School vacant land to the City of Wasilla for the purpose of creating a public safety complex, and the following reasons clearly detail our objections. This 801 North Wasilla Fishhook Road property, which also adjoins my property, within the education campus, encompassing all the centrally located Wasilla Schools, has been advertised as too valuable a parcel for other than the public school expansion. Continued population growth in the MSB will necessitate more public schools. The IES site remains ideally situated. The City of Wasilla was unable to justify the takeover of the former site because of the overwhelmingly high costs involved in renovating and removing the old elementary school building. And furthermore, the state police bailed out as a partner with the city. The state police continue to reduce services and downsize, and they are unlikely to participate under an accelerating state recession. The MSB, at a time of increasing economic distress, may sell the IES at less than fair market value when taxpayers paid full price for building demolition, removal, and landscaping the site. The property is unsuitable as a public safety facility because of the location of the IES site. It is very limited, has very limited rapid access to roads, the park's highway, and current and future traffic patterns. During the school year, morning and afternoon elementary school traffic on the Wasilla Fishhook Road, East Carpenter Circle, into and out of the new Iditarod Iditarod Elementary School would inhibit rapid egress from a public safety complex. In 3 years, the one-way couplet will be implemented, which will prevent direct access from the Wasilla Fishick Road to the park's highway south via North Main Street. Wasilla Fishick Road is easily accessed by the U-shaped driveway. However, the site has no legal rear exit route to Bogard Road, North Cruzy Street, and the park's highway. And number 10, the last thing I'm going to say is we can speculate how the MSB will be affected by an accelerating economic recession. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, ma'am. Garvin Bucaria.
My name is Garvin Bucaria, a resident of the Iditarod Park subdivision. Mr. Mayor, members of the assembly, the question of OR 17-30031 involves dollars, but must address future educational needs. I recognize the borough administration's need to recover the $651,453 demolition cost to remove the old Iditarod Elementary School building, and the $29,749 property utility costs. However, the $818,798 allocation to the area-wide school site acquisition reserve fund would not be required should the MSB assembly members reject OR 17-031. On reflection, the $29,749 property utility costs would be unnecessary for future expenditure should the site be retained for education. Consider, new Iditarod Elementary School capacity is 405. Current enrollment as of April 4th, 2017 was 398. Today I checked and enrollment remains the same at 398 students. However, I note a modular classroom appears to have been installed. New Iditarod Elementary School includes up to fifth grade children. I believe when the additional modulars are installed, maximum capacity will be 500 fifth grade students. I understand that Matt Nuska, Susitna Borough School Board, desires the old Iditarod Elementary School site to be retained within the Wasilla School's education campus. Additionally, the Matsu Central School has expressed interest in the site for a permanent home to serve 1,635 students. The Matt Nuska, Susitna Borough is the focus of growth, particularly if our state economy continues to decline. I expect many of the village residents will be forced to relocate here because of their inability to pay their high living costs. Anchorage residents may also escape increasing property taxes to move here. This portends increasing school enrollment at all education levels. Given these expectations, I implore you, members of the Matanuska Borough Assembly, to reject Ordinance serial number 17-031. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's all we have up on the sign up list. Would anybody else in the audience wish to speak on this particular ordinance? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing at this time. Senator Beck, would you move the legislation?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance 17-031.
Okay, any debate? Senator Mayfield?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. While I am personally in favor of Ordinance 17-031, Assemblymember Doty did ask me out of courtesy to at least make a motion to postpone this until she's available at the next regular assembly meeting. So I'd like to make that motion at this time.
Motion to postpone to which meeting? Senator Doty is on the telephonic right now, I believe. She was earlier.
I don't believe she is on telephonically. I think she's in some foreign country.
Mr. Mayor, this is Steve Culligan.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Culligan.
I'd like to speak in opposition to that. I also believe that Assemblyman Doty's gone for 3 weeks. This is something that we kicked down the road because a good portion of you guys went on to last meeting and the like as well, so we scheduled for this meeting. And I'm in high favor of this, and I would speak against postponing and like to move on with the action.
Okay, thank you. Madam Clerk wants a clarification on the motion.
To what date, Assemblymember Mayfield? I'm sorry.
What she had indicated to me was the next assembly next regular assembly meeting.
So May 2nd.
That would be appropriate.
Yes. Motion postponed to May 2nd. Assemblymember Beck, did you want to jump in here?
It might be a stretch, but it kind of affects my feelings about postponement of this. But my understanding is that with regards to considering this in the past, there was actually support at one point from the school district of selling this to the city of Wasilla. They were in favor of that. Can I ask for a verification of that, Mr.
Well, let's
Mayor?
Just stay on the motion to postpone right now and not get into the merits. Assemblymember Sykes on the motion to postpone.
Yes, I'd like a clarification as to what effect this may have with the city of Wasilla. And since the mayor's in the audience, I wonder if he'd be willing to talk about that.
Well, let's just decide whether or not we want to postpone this.
Well, that's why I want to know before I decide to vote.
Well, I don't know if that's going to. So. Senator McKee.
Yes, I would like to speak in opposition to the postponement. We've discussed this thing in several meetings, and there's always been a majority of the assembly that was willing to go ahead with this. And a postponement, I don't see how that's going to change anything at all. I suspect that we will have the same numbers that we've had in the past. Therefore, a majority of selling this to the city. So I speak against the postponement.
Okay, let's vote on this issue of postponement. Any objection to postponing the meeting?
Yes.
Yes, there is. So go ahead and vote on the record, please.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No, with the big N.
Mr. Mayor, it failed unanimously.
Okay, so there's no motion to postpone. We'll go ahead. Any other comments on the issue at hand to sell?
Now can I ask my question?
Yes, sir, please
so
do.
So if I could have verification, maybe I see the managers the mayor's in the audience. Could he speak to that with regards to, I believe in the past that, I just want it to be on public record that the school district was in favor of selling this to the city of Wasilla at one point?
I don't, I think that'd be, I'm not up on the law, that might be hearsay, I don't know if, but you want Mr. Cottle to testify
Manager?
Something that the school district may have said?
I thought there was a letter per se to that.
I don't know. So, Mr. Moosey?
There may have been some discussions, but I did not receive a letter, and there has been a letter recently from the school board on a resolution asking to retain the property. That is what I have in hand right now.
Thank you. That's fine.
There we go. Any other comments or discussion from assembly members? Is there any objection to
Mr. Mayor?
Assembly Member Culligan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so you know, this is in my district. We've had this discussion for a long time. The city, this isn't just the mayor, this is the entire Wasilla City Council through the process, through public discussion, through budgeting, made an offer, and we're going to take over the demolition. Then the borough decided to do the demolition themselves, and the Wasilla's come back with a counteroffer to use it for public purposes. The community's in high support, with the exception of just the one subdivision owners that also showed up in opposition to the other Iditarod school and the entrance and stuff. But I think in general, there's wide support for this, and I would ask for support from my fellow assembly members. Thank you.
Any other assembly members, any comments? Assemblymember Sykes?
Well, I did dig into this a little deeper, and I think that it's unlikely that the school district is going to construct any new schools within the next 4 years, maybe the next 5 or 6 years. And so it sort of comes down to whether we think the property is more valuable for the school district in the long term versus the time value of the money that we would get from the sale. And so I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, Assemblymember Beck.
Yeah, and my understanding is that, I mean, there could be potentially many different locations for the Mat-Su Central School in the future. We're not eliminating a potential, I mean, there'd be other potential school sites. Would that be true or not? I mean, I believe that.
Mr. Woosie?
Yes, we did a quick scan, and there is, right now, under the control of the borough, there is property at Pioneer Peak, more than 10 acres on high ground that would be suitable for, in addition, another school or a public facility there with the school district.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just have one quick question on the cost of demolition was 600 and some thousand. Mr. Woosie, where'd that money come from, and the proceeds would be repaid to where it came from?
Right now, it was approximately, I think Mr. Bucheri had the exact dollar amount. What we did is when we got the property from the school, we went through an agreement, it became ours. We used land management funds. And so subsequently to doing that, there is a resolution from the assembly, approved, that all proceeds in addition to our cost to clear the land and put it back would go to the school site selection committee fund. So approximately $650, $680 would go to land management, which has an effect on our budget. And then the balance would go into the school's site selection fund.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Mr. Assemblymember Qualkey called the question. So is there any objection to passage of Ordinance 17031? Assemblymember Culligan, I assume you're in favor of this ordinance?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking.
Okay, thank you very much. So 17031 passes without objection. Madam Clerk, 17034. And 17020, yes.
An ordinance approving an appropriation of $300,000 from the Tuckatina Fire Service Area Fund, Balance Fund 254 to Fund 405, Project Number 45243, to purchase a pumper, rescue vehicle, and related equipment with accompanying Resolution 1720. A resolution approving the scope of work and budget for Project Number 45243 to allow for the purchase of a pumper, rescue vehicle, and related equipment for Tuckatina Fire Service Area.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I don't believe we have a sign-up list. The clerk agrees with that. So anybody in the audience wish to speak on 17034, the ordinance, and the resolution 17020? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Assemblymember Qualkey, could you move this for us?
I move to adopt ordinance 17-034 and resolution 17-020. I support that.
Okay, any further discussion by assembly members? Any objection to this ordinance passing and the resolution? Seeing none, legislation passes. Hear no objection. Madam Clerk, 17037.
An ordinance approving an appropriation of $250,000 from South Colony Road Service Area Number 16, Fund Balance, Fund 273 to Fund 410, Project Number 30039 for South Colony Road Service Area Number 16, Capital Projects.
Thank you. I'll open the public hearings. I don't believe we have a sign-up list. Madam Clerk agrees. Anybody in the audience wish to speak on 17037? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Assemblymember Beck, would you please move the legislation?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt Ordinance 17-037.
Any further discussion? Any objection to 17037 passing? Hearing no objection, legislation passes. Madam Clerk, Ordinance 17038 and Resolution 17024.
An ordinance reappropriating $82,100 from Fund 480, Project Number 47511, Payroll Benefits System, Human Resources System, Fund 480, Project Number 47506, Financial System Enhancements, with accompanying Resolution 1724, Resolution amending the scopes of work and budgets for Payroll Benefits System, Human Resources Systems, budgets for payroll benefits, excuse me, I read that wrong, bear with me. project number 47511 and financial system enhancements, project number 47506, to include the continued development and implementation of Borough e-commerce site.
Thank you. I'll open the public hearing. I do not believe we have a sign-up list. Anybody in the audience wish to speak to this ordinance or resolution 038 and 024? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing at this time. Assemblymember Beck, please move this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance 17-038 and resolution 17-024.
Is there any further discussion or any discussion? Any objection to 17038 passing ordinance and the resolution 17024? Hear no objection, legislation passes. Madam Clerk, 17039.
An ordinance authorizing the borough manager to transfer and relinquish any and all interest the borough has within West Hawk Lane to the City of Houston for maintenance within the city boundaries, located within sections 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, and 12, Township 17 North, Range 3 West, Seward Meridian, 3rd Judicial District.
Thank you. I will open the public hearing at this time. I don't believe we have a sign-up list. Is there anybody in the audience wish to speak to 17039? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing at this time. Senator Kwaki, please move this legislation.
Yes, I move to adopt ordinance 17-039. I'd like to speak briefly.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, as I understand, this is essentially a bookkeeping correction to change something that has been rather a matter of fact for some time. And I would urge your support.
Mr. Moosey is shaking his head. Yes, I'm assuming. Is that the case? Okay, apparently that is the case. Any further discussion on 17039? Any objection to passage of 17039? Hearing no objection, legislation passes. We're at audience participation at this time. This is anyone's opportunity to speak to the assembly about anything they wish for 3 minutes. I don't know if we have a sign-up. I guess we do have a sign-up list that's coming forward at this time. Okay, that's now this. Everybody take it easy now. Okay, well, I guess it was John Lee from the hospital that signed up earlier, so he has left the room. So anybody else wish to speak in audience participation? 3 minutes on any subject. Going once, going twice. I guess we don't have anybody, so we'll close out audience participation. We're at the consent agenda. We have pulled two items, Madam Clerk, was 17034 and 17031. Mm-hmm. So you could take over the rest of them, please.
Resolution 17006, a resolution establishing the minimum level of funding for the Madison-Susitna Borough School District for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2018. Resolution 17032, a resolution supporting the adoption of Alaska House Bill number 178 regarding amendments to the Alaska Statutes 3540035, Veterans Memorial. AM 17032, award of bid number 17097B to Dirt Works Incorporated in the contract amount of $568,189 for Bodenberg Creek Bridge upgrades. AM 17033, acceptance of late filed and retroactive senior citizen and disabled veteran exemption applications.
Thank you. Assemblymember Beck, would you move the consent agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. Madam Clerk, which one do you want to take first?
We'll do the resolution, Mr. Mayor. Resolution 17031, a resolution to approve and adopt the fiscal year 2018 schedule of rates and fees effective July 1st, 2017.
And who pulled this item? Senator Mayfield, could you move it for us and then we'll move on to...
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move resolution 17-031.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, and I had asked to pull that from the consent agenda, basically because I need a little more information in regards to schedule rates and fees, and I have requested assistance from community development in gathering some information for me that may be very germane to the rates and fees that we're talking about today. So I'd like to go ahead and postpone this until the next regular assembly meeting.
On May 2nd. Any objection to postpone? Senator Sykes?
Yeah, I read through the fees, and I'd like to know, I'd rather have the discussion about what fees there's heartburn with before we just postpone it. So that's why I object.
Senator Mayfield?
Yes. I'm not so sure that that's germane to my motion, but however, with all due respect, I'll give you the answer. I was looking at the Brett Ice Arena fees as well as pools and also gate fees. I have some moderate questions in regards to transfer sites fees.
Okay, any objection to postponement? Senator McKee?
How long are we going to postpone it for?
May 2nd.
Okay.
Seeing no objection, this item 1731 is postponed to May 2nd. 17034, Madam Clerk.
Award of bid number 17102B to Sandstrom & Sons Incorporated for the Port McKenzie Open Cell Dock Repairs Preliminary Work Package in the amount of $532,357.50.
Who pulled this item?
Senator Sykes.
Senator Sykes, could you move it for us and then go ahead with discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move Action Memorandum 17-034.
Go ahead.
Well, the reason I pulled this from the agenda is it seems to be directly connected to the item of unfinished business, which is right below it. And both of the informational memorandums cite the same source of money, except for the payment for the sled repairs that we receive. And I'm unclear how that's going to work or if these two can be done separately. And my understanding from attending the end of the Port Commission meeting is that the Port Commission only voted to go through with what we have in front of us, 17-034, but I'd like clarification on that and the source of the funds, which appear to be the same on the information memorandum.
I'm going to let Madam Clerk jump in here. We have a conflict with unfinished business, is that correct?
Mr. Mayor, we could probably, if the Assembly doesn't have any objection, we could probably actually take AM 17034 with unfinished business, because basically you're approving a bid without actually approving the funding, which is on the next item.
Any objection to that proposal by Madam Clerk combining these two under unfinished business? Okay, we'll do that. We'll consolidate that with unfinished business. So we must be finished with our consent agenda. So we're at unfinished business. So Madam Clerk, please read that into the record.
Ordinance 1713, an ordinance accepting and appropriating $169,009.50 from Fund 520 to Fund 450, project number 70012 to fund repairs to the Port McKenzie barge dock. Resolution 17-9, a resolution approving the appropriation of $450,000 from the Areawide Capital Reserve and $400,000 from the Land Management Permanent Fund, for a total of $850,000 to Fund 450. Project number 70012 is loaned to Fund 520 to fund repairs to the Port McKenzie barge dock. AM 17034, awarded bid number 17102B to Sandstrom & Sons Incorporated for the Port McKenzie Open Cell Dock Repairs Preliminary Work Package in the amount of $532,357.50.
Okay, the main motion's on the floor. We got the ordinance 17013, the resolution 17009, and the resolution the AM 17034. Any discussion? Senator Mayfield.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I move to amend Ordinance 17-013 and Resolution 17-009 by taking funds from the Land Management Permanent Fund in the amount of $400,000 and replacing it with the MV Susitna Fund 367 in the amount of $400,000 throughout the legislation. I'd like to speak to it, if I may.
Yeah, everybody realize you have that in your red folder. So go ahead, Senator Mayfield.
My main concern was that, we've already plucked a couple of million dollars from the Land Management Permanent Fund in order to effect repairs the first time on the dock system. And So now we're dipping into that same fund, which will pretty close to wipe out, will come pretty close to wiping out that fund. So so I do want to leave what money is in the land management permanent fund alone and shift the $400,000 burden to the MVC Sitna fund, which has approximately $748,000 in it at this time. That was the amount that was appropriated in our budget in for 2017. And I checked with finance, none of that money has been spent so far as we know at this point in time. So there is money there available. Of course, the MVC Sitna Enterprise Fund directly correlates with the Port Enterprise Fund. So so I think they're like kind projects, and I believe it's appropriate to go ahead and take the money from that fund rather than from the Land Management Permanent Fund.
Okay. Senator Kwaki, go ahead, please.
Yes, I would like to speak in support of the amendment.
Okay. Any other comments or discussion on Senator Kwaki's amendment? Excuse me. It's been a long week. Sorry about that, Senator Mayfield. Any other discussion on the amendment by Assemblymember Mayfield? Any objection to passage of the amendment? Senator Culligan, do you have that amendment before you? Did you hear it?
No objection, yes.
Okay, thank you. Any no objection, so Senator Mayfield's motion passes. Anything further on 17013, 17009, and AM, what is it, 17034? Senator Sykes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, we still have a little bit of a discrepancy of approximately $320,000. The amount in AM 17034 would have authorized $532,357, and that's for the preliminary work, which I understand is the shoring up of the north side of the dock so that the ocean doesn't take it away, and then the full repair, which is estimated at $850,000, is more interior work to the port, as I understand it. And so my understanding is that the Port Commission only voted to support the shoring up part of it at their meeting yesterday, and I want to get clarification on the difference of the $320,000 and how work can proceed or needs to proceed, because it looks like they're different projects to me.
Okay, we'll turn this over to Mr. Moosey.
Yes, so essentially you have swept more money into this account than what is needed tomorrow to pay, about approximately $300,000. The work that's being done right now is to hold things in place to prevent further damage. We will be coming back with part two of this repair, and so those additional dollars we have right now will be a part of that solution. So we will not be spending the $300,000 on this, but we will come back to you later for that opportunity to repair it, and we're gonna need those funds plus additional funds.
Senator Sykes, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Manager. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anybody else? Any other comments, discussion on all three, the 17013, the resolution 17009, and the AM 034? Any objection to passage of all three? I see none, hear none. Senator McCulligan, you okay with passage of those three?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So see no objections, ordinance 17013. Resolution 17009 and AM 17034 passes. There are no vetoes. We are now to introductions. Madam Clerk, could you take over?
Introduction for public hearing on April 24th, April 25th, and April 27th is Ordinance 1717. An introduction for public hearing on May 2nd is Ordinance 1740. Ordinance 1744 with accompanying Resolution 1729. Ordinance 1745 with accompanying Resolution 1730. Ordinance 1746 with accompanying resolution accompanying ordinance 1751. Ordinance 1747 with accompanying ordinance 1752. Ordinance 1748 with accompanying resolution or ordinance 1753. Ordinance 1749 with accompanying ordinance 1754. Ordinance 1750 with accompanying ordinance 1755. Ordinance 1756, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Madam Clerk. I may be planning on being out of state on May 2nd.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at the vacancy report. Oh, excuse me. Senator Beck, could you go ahead and move the introductions
for us,
please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings April 24, 2017, April 25, 2017, April 27, 2017, and May 2nd, 2017, respectively.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the hearing? None. They're set as just read. Now we're at the vacancy report. Senator Beck, please move the vacancy report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the mayor's confirmations as follows. Emergency Medical Services Board, resignation of Brian Anderson.
Okay, thank you. Any objection to the vacancy report being approved as read?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And one more thing, Mr. Mayor, I need to read. For the record, Kelsey Bowe was not moved as she was submitted, and she submitted an email pulling her application to the Board of Equalization.
Okay. Any objection to the vacancy report as read? Seeing none, vacancy report is approved as read. There's no other new business. There's no referrals. We don't have any reconsiderations. So we're at staff and assembly comments. We'll start with Mr. Spropoulos. Any comments? Madam Clerk? Mr. Moosey?
Yes, sir.
Mr. McKee, would you, Senator McKee, any comments for this evening?
I have one. I'm curious about how much more money the borough manager was talking about for the port. Right now, the port couldn't pay back a nickel. Okay, and in the foreseeable future, it's not going to be a functioning enterprise fund. We have no contracts. So what do we have to do to stop this from becoming another MV Susetnut down the line? Yeah, you're looking at me.
That's right.
You're looking at me, yeah. I'm concerned about that. How much money are we going to spend more than the 300 grand you're talking about? Do we have any idea?
Do you want to answer that now, Mr. Moosey?
Yes.
So essentially with this repair, which is slightly over $500,000, we're anticipating this repair to be total with this approximately $2 million. We're still struggling with a design that I can bring to the assembly that I can show you is going to work. Now, the second thing and the way to view this as far as why is this not the MV Susitna, this is an asset that ourselves and the state of Alaska have invested in, and essentially at this point in time, what we're trying to do is protect our investment. We are working with a minor player use of the port once it's repaired, and that sort of thing is tied to the timber industry. And if that thing goes through, I'm going to say it's a coin flip, 50-50 chance with that. That will, for probably the first time in probably 7 or 8 years, we'll be able to recover our operating expenses with the cost to operate moving forward. That is our best chance right now. But right now we're viewing this as protecting our investment and nothing more. And that's why we're taking it in two phases, because we want to make sure this next repair, our part two of this repair, is correct. So I'm not coming back next year with another repair.
I would add one thing to that. You say that we had money invested in this. We also have money invested in the MV Susitna.
Do I have to answer that?
briefly. I think we should move on. Assemblymember Sykes, comments?
Well, I appreciate Assemblymember Key's comments, and I hope that we do have customers at the port that are paying customers, and I do hope that we do have income, but necessarily, I'm really glad that the Port Commission finished their commodities forecast, but we still don't have any commodities going across the port. And so I think the thing that's been missing from our forecast is, just in case we lose the 50-50 on the forest products, do we have a plan in place to mothball the port to keep it available for future use? And that's the question I would have.
Mr. Woosie?
Yes.
Okay. Then I have a couple of other comments. There's a lot of stuff going on in addition to the veterans coming back from the honor flight on the 22nd at noon at the airport in Anchorage. Chief Steele, who has had a very distinguished career in the fire service, is having a retirement get-together. I believe that's also at noon, starting at the fire station up from Willow on the Hatcher Pass side, about 4 miles up, on Saturday. At 2 p.m.
I think that'd be Mr. Green, Malik Green.
It was Malik Green. Okay, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, we will inform Mr. Steele that.
Oh, all right. Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Steele, Chief Steele.
He doesn't know it yet.
Okay, well, he will soon, I expect. But Chief Green also has had a distinguished career in the fire service, and I personally know that. So I hope that there's a good turnout there. There is also here in Palmer on Saturday a March for Science, which I think is a very neat idea. And that starts at 2 p.m. and there'll be some science sites around town for a couple of hours. And there seems to be a lot of interest in it. So you can check that out as well on Saturday. And so I thought we had, this must be a new record for finishing a meeting, but I thought we had a pretty, it's not a record? Okay, well, anyway, it was still good. And we still have time to get out and enjoy this beautiful evening. And I wish everybody here in the audience and the assembly to have a great evening.
Yeah, we have a short executive session afterwards. Senator Qualkey, do you have any comments?
No, I don't have anything to add. Thank you.
Senator Mayfield?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to congratulate Director Otto Feather on your permanent assignment at this point in time. Look forward to continuing to work with you. And I also want to recognize Port Director Von Dagen. I believe this is going to be his last meeting. Certainly a distinguished career with the Mat-Su Borough, and I want to thank you for your thoughtfulness, your dedication, your hard work, all of those things that you do and you have done day in and day out. And I'm sure you're going to be around to help us through this repair and probably through a few other problems, but I wanted to recognize you this evening because I do believe this is going to be your last official meeting, and hopefully you will find happy trails in the future.
Thank you, Senator Culligan.
I didn't have any comments, but after just the last few minutes, I just said I better comment and just say I can feel for Mr. Steele, who was just read his soap opera script and found out that he was also being written out, possibly, of the thing, and find out that his term, like my term, was in the script. But I want to thank both him and Mr. Green for their service, and thank Mr. Sykes for his humor. I still get a grin from knowing the soap opera description of my future at the assembly table.
Okay, thank you. Senator Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I think we did a good thing by selling the city of Wasilla that property of the old Iditarod, and I think that it's widely supported by the public, contrary to some of the public testimony we heard tonight. And I don't lose hope with the fact that I do think there's other viable places if and when the school district decides to move Mat-Su Central. I think we're going to be okay. I think there are other options, so I'm glad we did that. Just for a personal note, I'm going to be out of town during the graduations and some of the public hearings for the budget, but I intend to call in for the public hearing meetings and be present telephonically for all that, so I hope there's capability for those dates that I'm going to be gone, and I'll get those to you, Madam Clerk, so you know when those are. And also, 2 weeks ago, I was able to travel to Washington, D.C. with Assemblymember Kowalki, Mayor Halter, Manager Moosey, and Attorney Spiropoulos, and it was great to be able to do work on behalf of the borough. We had several meetings with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Department of Transportation, Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, Representative Young. We met with the National Association of Counties. We also met with the Pew Trust and several other meetings throughout the week, and it was good to be able to do work on behalf of the borough, and fills me with a kind of a deep sense of appreciation for the work that the manager and the attorney are doing on behalf of our borough that go far beyond what is visible to kind of the average person, but it also gives me a sense of optimism as to where we're headed. We heard a lot of good things through our conversations, I think. Not everything was good, but a lot of it was good. I think we're in good shape. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I want to congratulate Otto Feather for your keep those fresh eggs coming to, through my wife. We certainly enjoy those. And Mayor Cottle, congratulations on the sale of your land. Two assembly members and Mr. Moosey had me down in my office and made me promise I wouldn't veto it, so I think you're okay. And but I think it's a good deal for I was hoping to net $1 million for the borough, but it's pretty darn close, so after we pay for the demolition. So I'm glad that happened tonight, and we didn't continue it too, by the way. And I guess we're going to take a do we go off the record, Madam Clerk, and then we pardon?
You want me to move us into executive session?
Executive session.
I'd be happy to. I move to enter into executive session for matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be kept confidential, and to discuss matters involving consideration of borough records that by law are not subject to public disclosure, and discussion of matters subject to the attorney-client privilege, in particular to discuss pre-decisional and confidential legal analysis of proposed sales tax confined to the Talkeetna Water Service area. Those present in executive session will be the mayor, the assembly, the manager, the attorney, and the clerk.
Okay, thank you, Assemblymember Beck. Is there any objection, any discussion first? Any objection to entering executive session? Seeing and hearing none, we'll enter executive session at exactly 7:35 and we'll go off record.
Assemblymember Culligan, we're going to try not to lose you, but if we do, please call back.